Welcome to another podcast by Every Nation Brisbane. We're so glad you can join us here today. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at enbrisbane.org. Please enjoy the following message.
All right, so 2 Chronicles 20, verse 1. After this, the Moabites and Ammonites, with them some of the Meunites, came against Jehoshaphat for battle. Some men came and told Jehoshaphat, "A great multitude is coming against you from Edom, from beyond the seas, and behold, they are in Hazazon Tamar, that is in Gedi." Then Jehoshaphat was afraid and set his face to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judea. And Judah assembled to seek help from the Lord. From all the cities of Judah they came to seek the Lord. And Jehoshaphat stood in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court and said, "O Lord, God of our fathers, are you not God in heaven? You rule over all the kingdoms of the nations. In your hand are power and might, so that none is able to withstand you. Did you not, our God, drive out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and give it forever to the descendants of Abraham your friend? And they have lived in it and built for you in it a sanctuary for your name, saying, 'If disaster comes upon us, the sword, judgment or pestilence or famine, we will stand before this house and before you, for your name is in this house, and cry out to you in our affliction, and you will hear and save.' And now behold, men of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, who you would not let Israel invade when they came from the land of Egypt, whom they avoided and did not destroy, behold, they reward us by coming out to drive us out of your possession, which you have given us to inherit. O our God, will you not execute judgment on them? For we are powerless against this great horde that is coming against us. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you."
Don't you love that? "We don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you." Lord, we thank you that in 1 John chapter 4, verse 8, you are described as love. God is love. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 8, love is described as never failing. So, Lord, it's simple maths. If God equals love and love never fails, then we serve a God who never fails. And so, God, we're here today, Lord, in adversity, in a time of trial and uncertainty, to lean into a God who fully knows the end from the beginning. We thank you that we've come here to worship the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. And Lord, we just join and unite our faith around a God whom we can be certain. It's like the old hymn, "Lord God, on Christ, the solid rock we stand, all other else is sinking sand." We thank you, God, that you are the solid rock of which Every Nation Brisbane is built upon. And we're born for this time. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. So good. We're just the church that loves one another. And can we give it up for those who are here for the first time? Welcome. Welcome. Welcome to your first time and possibly our last time for meeting for a while. Not to sound all apocalyptic on you, but today's message is actually about spiritual family. We're in this series called DNA. And one of the values of our church, we're talking about the four values of our church and what this church's DNA is. One of the values is family. Obviously, our families, the tagline to it is that we will not sacrifice our families on the altar of ministry. Many of you have asked me this morning, "What are you doing here? Aren't you supposed to be in Hawaii?" Because this week I'm supposed to be speaking at our Every Nation Campus Conference in Hawaii. But praise God, like 2 hours before I was about to jump on the plane, they canceled the conference. Well, not 2 hours, maybe 4 hours before I was actually in the gym. Yeah, got a workout done, you know. Whatever. And I hit the gym. I just went to the gym, hit it. And then I was looking at my phone, and they went into a meeting, our church in Honolulu, and decided to, and rightfully so, postpone the conference that I was going to fly in and speak at. And so I'm really blessed that I could be here. Tina was all like, "Oh, we feel sorry for you. You're going to miss out in Hawaii." And I was like, no, I wouldn't feel right. Number one, obviously, with my family, because, you know, how many of you know that they're starting to restrict activity coming into our borders, being stuck there, you know, in Hawaii, suffering for Jesus. But I chose you, my friend. And, you know, I wouldn't have felt good, especially during this time as a church. We have to navigate this really opportune time that we have as a church to really utilize this time to be a witness and be creative as to how God has called us as a spiritual family to shine even brighter. Don't you recognize that this is a very opportune time? And I do pray for you. In fact, I wanted to take a moment. By the way, my name is Nelly. I'm the senior pastor here at Every Nation Brisbane. Thank you for saying hi. For those of you who are new here, g'day, how's it going? But I wanted to take a moment, and if there are any of you in the public sector that are in areas like, I know I've got Bianca up front here. Sorry, it's dark in here. I can't see people out there. But if you're a nurse or if you're in any field that serves in the public sector, I wanted to take a moment to pray for you right at the start before we even get into it. I know we've got people in the health sector, people like one of our leaders, Iris, and you know, who's not here today, obviously. But like we've got so many of our people that are in the public sector. We want to pray for health protection upon them and just wisdom to navigate and be the light of Christ in those environments. So if you are in whatever shape or form, can you just stand to your feet so we can pray for you today? Awesome, awesome. Chaplains, teachers. Awesome. Okay, if you're able to, just stretch your hands out to them. But God, we want to pray for these ones, Lord God. These are the champions that you've called to these specific areas, Lord God, to be a light in the darkest of hours. So Lord, I'm praying for supernatural wisdom, God, to know how to execute your plans. God, if it means like for the teachers in here, creative ways to equip students if it comes to us shutting down our schools, Lord, I just pray, Lord, for the wisdom to prepare for these times. I also pray, Lord God, for just supernatural protection on their health as well, Lord God, that you would keep them protected from viruses and just healthy to be able to execute the plans you have for them. I even pray for our nurses in this church and our doctors in this church that aren't here today because of you know, the times that we are in right now and even the times that we're about to enter into, Lord God, as a nation, where there will be a lot more pressure coming from the public sector as we have to prepare for what's about to take place. Again, we're sovereign. We believe that you can eradicate it, Lord, so it won't put pressure on our health system. But at the same time, we also want to execute wisdom and we also want to pray in faith around our health system. So we pray for the nurses, the doctors that are in this church, Lord God, and that you would enable them, Lord God, again, health protection upon them, Lord, wisdom, and also just the opportunity to shine your light. I pray for opportunities to even communicate the gospel with wisdom as well, that this would be our finest hour. This would be our finest hour to see evangelistic growth and outreach like never before. So we thank you. I thank you for these champions that are part of this spiritual family. And as this spiritual family, we cover them. We just plead the blood of Jesus Christ upon their households, their families. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you all. Can we give them a hand, everybody? So the title of my message today is Family Born for Adversity. Born for adversity. Turn to somebody and just gently tell them, you were born for adversity. Okay, turn to somebody else, tell them, you were born for these times. I believe it was, earlier on in the series, we talked about worship and what worship is often allocated towards, that this becomes worship, us gathering together, which it is somewhat worship. But it's only a small part of worship. Remember, we read from the only place you find a biblical definition for what worship is, which is found in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, where it says that, this is Paul exhorting the church at Rome. He says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy. How many of you are thankful for God's mercy this morning? Yeah, about 7 people, Paul. Thankful that you have breath in your lungs to pour out his praise, like the song says. Therefore, in view of God's mercy, offer yourselves as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable before God, for this is your spiritual worship. That's what worship is. Worship isn't just coming to a service like this. This is part of what worship is because you sacrifice, obviously, other things that you could be doing. And the Lord knows we need to be worshiping right now, moments like this, right? And it's not even the music. Like, this is the worship team. Yes, this is the worship ministry, but that's not necessarily what worship is. And for those of you who've been around Christianity long enough, at least contemporary expressions of what Christianity is, you'd liken worship to be the slow songs and praise to be the fast songs. So praise is like Jesus, right? And then worship is like Jesus, you know, like, so you got worship and praise. It depends on the beats per minute. And that's not what worship is. Worship is offering ourselves as living sacrifices. Some of you may have been at Logan. We were Charles was actually preaching at Logan, and he was talking about how when you worship something, you sacrifice everything else in order for the glorification of that thing. So if you worship your job, you sacrifice your family, you sacrifice your time, your health, you know, you don't sleep, all of that, because you're worshiping your job. But if you flip it and you understand that God is the one who's exalted, how many of you know all those things fall into place, right? Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all things will be added unto you. So in knowing that, I wanted to kind of take it a step further and ask today, what is the church? What is the church? Let me make this statement, okay? This is going to be the underlying foundation of everything I'm going to be talking about today. And this is the statement. We don't go to church. We're called to be the church. This is not church. This is a worship service. But you are the church. We are the church as believers that come together in unity around the glorification of the one called Jesus. That is the church. That is why we're here. So worship is a lot more than events like this where we gather. And in fact, this is a moment, right? This is a moment where we're going to begin to see what the church really is. This is not necessarily what the church is, but the church looks like this. Somebody say hallelujah for that, yeah, right? The church looks like this, getting together and celebrating one another's lives and celebrating what God is doing in their midst. The church looks like this, bunch of friends celebrating God in nature. The church looks like this, people going to each other's homes and fellowshipping and praying and pouring their hearts out. And the church also looks like this. There are three allegories given in the New Testament. I don't have time to unpack them fully. But we do unpack them in our Making Disciples class a lot more extensively. And so they all start with B. Number one, that the church is the body. 1 Corinthians 12 talks about how we all have different gifts. And if there are different parts of the body that ache, the rest of the body comes to its alleviation. Any of you been there in the morning, like you're walking around the corner of your bed and you stub your toe and you say, praise the Lord. No, you say something. You say, oh, fellowship, oh, faith. See, that's your mouth coming to the rescue of that pain down there. And then you bend down, your arm reaches down to see what happens. Your eyes look to see what the damage is, and it hurts even more. And because it didn't hurt until you saw the blood squirting out of your toe and all that. Sorry to get all violent here in Every Nation Brisbane. But, you know, like your knees bend down. Every part of your body reacts to that part that's hurting. And that's what the church is, right? If there's a part of the body of Christ that's hurting, if there's a part of this body that's hurting, the rest of us, and again, it's not just the pastor, but it's all of us come to help bring alleviation through prayer, through fellowship, through providing resource. This is the biblical model of what a body looks like. So you can read more about that in 1 Corinthians 12. The church is also likened to a building where it's described as we are living stones, and then Jesus Christ is the cornerstone, the foundation of which the church is built upon. Now, you can see there, this is a building in Jerusalem. This is actually not built during the time of the Bible, but it was built much later. But if you actually go to the more provincial areas where the Bible describes how buildings were built, there were jagged stones that weren't necessarily refined like the bricks that we have today and then the mortar. What they would do is stick two like stones that kind of look like they fit together and just push them together. Jagged edges and all. Can you imagine? That's what the church is like, right? Like, I come with my imperfection, you come with your imperfection, and then we're pushed together in relationship, relying completely on the Holy Spirit to keep us united. And sometimes it hurts because, you know, our edges can kind of, like, bring a little bit of pressure. And that's when relationship is tested. But that's what the church is. And then the church is also likened to a bride. Revelation talks about how Jesus is coming back for his bride. And earlier in Paul's writings, he talks about he's coming back for a bride without spot or wrinkle. That God is using times like this to refine us as the church. The church is defined basically as a body of people together in relationship, growing in Christ. And there's many ways he does this. So let's look at the scriptures. What does the scripture say? In Hebrews chapter 10, let us consider how to stir one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some. Turn to somebody and tell them, we're glad you're here. I'm glad you're here.
I'm glad you're here, baby.
But encouraging one another, And all the more as you see the day drawing near. Now, this day is talking about the day of the coming of Jesus. But I want to encourage you today. Like, I need you. You need me. We need each other. We need to walk together. That's what we're called to do as the church, a living, active, breathing church. So how can we be the church in these times? Well, let's look at what the scriptures say. What I'm going to do is describe from the scriptures that Martin alluded to earlier from 2 Chronicles chapter 20. It's one of my favorite passages in the scripture, especially as a worship guy, especially as a musician who loves to see the aspect of like the Bethel songs, my weapon being my melody, like seeing songs of exaltation that cause the praise of God to arise and his enemies to be scattered, or our enemies to be scattered. There is no enemy to God because there's no one worthy of fighting against him. All he has to do is just go like Thanos, I am inevitable, right? Like just, but he's our enemy, and that's who we lean on. So let's look at the situation here, right? After this, the Moabites, the Ammonites, and with them some Meunites, and all the preacher jokes say, and the mosquito bites, came against Jehoshaphat for battle, okay? So it's not just one group of people, but there are nations all at the same time coming against Jehoshaphat. And so let's look at what Jehoshaphat does, because there's a lot of wisdom in what he does in response to this onslaught. Now, we're not necessarily facing a physical army, but we're facing a viral army, which is going to affect us. But we're in faith, right? We're in faith, right? We are. Oh, all right, just checking. All right. And some man came and told Jehoshaphat, a great multitude is coming against you from Edom, where the cheese comes from. That's another cheesy preacher joke for you. That's another one for free. Just giving them away. From beyond the sea, and behold, they are in Hazazon Tamar. That is in Gedi. And then Jehoshaphat was afraid. He's keeping it real, right? He's afraid. And he sets his face. Some of us need to do this. Like the moment you fear, what do? Feed yourself more CNN, MSNBC. I like that one. Yeah, MSG. Sunnybank's empty right now. Those of us with faith will go down and find a parking right away. And proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. So his response was, look, I'm scared. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to call us to all seek the face of God during this time of trial. Then Jehoshaphat was afraid and set his face to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. Now I want you to catch what he does here. He assembles the saints to come together. Now, some of us might say, well, how can we assemble? Like, how do we assemble in this era of social distancing? How many of you have heard, like, this new phrase emerge in the last, like, 96 hours to a week? Like, all of a sudden, this emergence of this phrase, social distancing, has made its way into our vocabulary. So how do we assemble? Now, this is key that we look at what Jehoshaphat does. He stood in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem and in the house of the Lord before the new court. So he assembles everybody. And there are ways, creatively, praise God for what the tools that we have in this modern day and age, that it is possible to assemble during this time. Now we'll come to that in a little bit in terms of our response to what's happening. God has also called us, just like Jehoshaphat, to what? To stand, to take our stand in the assembly and say, man, I won't be rocked by this. I will not be shaken by this because I serve a God and am surrendered to a God whom this situation does not take him by surprise. So the way we stand is we use tools like communication to be able to encourage one another to stand. But Pastor Nelly, I don't use social media. I'm not of that ilk, you know. I don't have a Facebook account. That's okay. There are other means of communication. Just be creative and find ways. You can actually use your phone to do what it was invented for. You remember when phones, the only thing you could do on a phone was call somebody. When's the last time you actually used it to call somebody? You text everybody, message everybody, play Angry Birds with everybody, but you don't call. You might want to use your phone at this time to actually do what it was called to do. Communicate with people and just encourage them in their stand. Now we'll unpack that a little bit more and practically, but let's look at Jehoshaphat a little bit more. And this is what Jehoshaphat did when he stood before the assembly. So number one, we assemble. Everybody say assemble. Avengers assemble. And number two, we stand. Everybody say stand. Turn to somebody and tell them, you stand now. So this is what he did when he stood. And he said, O Lord God of our fathers, are you not in heaven? That's not really a prayer of faith, eh? Knock, knock, who's there? You rule. Now he does say, like, where are you? But he also says, you rule over all the kingdoms of the nations. In your hand are power and might. How many of you believe that today? So that none, no coronavirus, no any virus, is able to withstand you. Did you not? I love this, right? He reminds himself of what God's done in the past. Did you not drive out the inhabitants of this land before your people, Israel, and give it forever to the descendants of Abraham, your friend? Well, he remembers the friendship found in faith that Abraham had with God, right? And they have lived in it, and they have built for you in it a sanctuary for your name, saying, if disaster comes upon us, the sword, judgment, or pestilence, or famine, we will stand. Everybody say, we will stand. We will stand before this house and before you, for your name is in this house, and cry out to you in our affliction, and you will hear and save. And now behold, the men of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom you would not let Israel invade when they came from the land of Egypt, and whom they avoided and did not destroy, behold, they reward us by coming to drive us out of your possession, which you have given to us to inherit. Can you imagine this? Like he's saying, okay, these enemies are coming against us, but we've seen him do this before when we were slaved in Egypt and we were coming out into the promised land. And he eradicated those guys before. So if he did it before, my God will do it again, right? But he also says that this stuff, we're going to inherit it. So not only is the enemy going to come against us, but we're going to take them down by the power of God. And then all the stuff that they've tried to steal from us, we're going to get it back. Our God will not execute. Our God, will you not execute judgment on them? For we are powerless against this great horde that is coming against us. We do not know what to do. Some of us need to pray this prayer of desperation. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you. Anybody been in that situation before, right? I'm not talking about this virus that we're, you know, facing globally, but I'm talking about, like, more specifically in your life. I don't know what to do, but my eyes are on you. How many of us, like, have been in situations like this, have chosen to try to walk it out ourselves or find our own solutions, and then the last thing we do is, I don't know what to do, my eyes are on you. How many of you know you should seek first God? I guess the only thing we can do is pray. No, you should pray. Try it. Prayer is important. Like, the first response is to pray. Let me just say this. I wasn't going to say this, but I feel the need to say this. The era and the time for casual prayer, it's over. Oh, Lord, thanks for the butter. Thanks for the bread. Thanks that they go together. Like, those casual. No. The time is now for us to actually start to pray in desperation for God to move, because it's only by God that we will get through this. And God will equip those who are coming up with viruses. God can, did you notice, like, God can actually, like, just go like that and the virus is gone? But why would we try to, I mean, more people are running towards the paper that goes in the throne room rather than to the throne room of God. Some of y'all didn't understand what I was talking about. Thinking our salvation comes from Kleenex. Isn't it ridiculous? Most people don't even know why they're running to the toilet aisle. Did you know that, like, the trend started in Hong Kong because they were afraid when the virus started emerging and all of their toilet paper, not ours, by the way, it's made locally, was going to be cut off at the borders. They were like, okay, we have reason to freak out, so we're going to go down to the local store and get toilet paper, because once they stop importing toilet paper, we're stuck. There's no leaves around here because Hong Kong's a small island full of buildings, right? So we better get our toilet paper. That makes sense. But in Australia, Have you seen these interviews with people that are running to get toilet paper and like hoarding it? I mean, yes, you should get toilet paper, by the way. Like, I'm not saying don't use toilet paper. Use toilet paper. Please use toilet paper. Social responsibility. But what I'm talking about here is more with regards to hoarding it. And then when they were interviewed, I've seen these interviews with people. They have no idea. Oh, my friend Gary said it's a good idea for us to grab as many toilet papers as we could. So I thought I'd come through here. And I don't know what accent this is. You know, is there a possibility that toilet paper will be eradicated from? Look, your salvation is not in toilet paper. It's in the Lord. So the first thing we should do is pray. Rather than run to Coles and just like go across the shelf. And now look at this. So all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives and their children. They stood together, all of them, families together. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, son of Benaiah, son of Jehiel, son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph in the midst of his assembly. And this is what Jehaziel steps up to say. He says, "Listen, all Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem and King Jehoshaphat. Thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid." Turn to somebody, tell them, do not be afraid. Turn to somebody else, tell them, do not be dismayed. Don't be dismayed at this great horde, for the battle is not yours, but it's God's. Tomorrow go down against them. Behold, they will come up by the ascent of Ziz. What a weird name place, eh? Ziz. You will find them at the end of the valley, east of the wilderness of Jeruel. And you will not need to fight in this battle. Wow. Come on. Stand firm. Hold your position. See the salvation of the Lord on your behalf. O Judah and Jerusalem, do not be afraid and do not be dismayed. Go out against them and the Lord will be with you. So in one sense, there is a proactiveness, but there's an attitude of praise like it's already won. It's not like they sit back and they say, you know what, guys, just go home. Let them come. And he said, no, be proactive, but take an attitude of praise. There's three things that happen here. Jehaziel declares the word of the Lord. He gets up, he stands, and he's an anointed prophetic figure in the church. You can see that there's generations. He comes from the tribe of Levi, which is the priestly tribe. So there's obviously a generational understanding of how to operate in the prophetic. So he steps up to the gate. He's like, no, this is what the Lord is saying. And he declares the word of God. I want to encourage you, guys, like pull your Bible out and declare the word of God. Grab Psalm 91 and just begin to declare that. Pray that over your family. Pray that over your marriage. Pray that over your neighborhood. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High shall abide in the shadow of the Almighty. Lord, I believe that we dwell in your shelter. And we will abide, which means to remain in the shadow of you, the Almighty. Almighty meaning that you hold all might. There's nothing too hard for my God. And then check this out. Then Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell down before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. Beautiful. Everybody moves from a position of standing to a position of bowing before the Lord. And the Levites, the priestly tribe, and the Kohathites and the Korahites were known for the singing as well, stood up to praise the Lord, the God of Israel, in a very loud voice. And they rose early in the morning, that'll preach, and went out in the wilderness of Tekoa. And when they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Hear me, Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God and you will be established. Believe his prophets and you will succeed." And when he had taken counsel with the people, he appointed those who were to sing, wow, to the Lord and praise him in holy attire. Joe, how do we need to buy suits? As they went before the army and say, "Give thanks to the Lord, for his steadfast love endures forever." See, in human thinking, the right people to put on the front line would be those who are mercenary trained and know how to battle. Are these guys... you with the acoustic guitar, just come up the front here. You with the triangle, just come up the front here. Yeah, your triangle's holy. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, just come up the front here. And we're going to go forward and praise the Lord. And so the role of praise and worship, I want you to catch this. There's three things that I've said here. We talked about the necessity of prayer, the necessity of declaring God's word, and the necessity of praise and worship. Those three things are going to be key as I round this message out. I want you to notice this, because he puts praise and worship, the attitude of declaring God's goodness in song, in prayer, and in the word. You're going to need this, guys. More than toilet paper, you're going to need this. Okay, those three things. Can't get them at Kohl's. You get them here at church. All right? And so look at what happens. Those three things happen. And then from the men of Ammon, Moab rose against the inhabitants of Mount Seir, devoting them to destruction. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, they all helped to destroy one another. What? So they're coming out, you know, the guys with the acoustic guitars and the triangles, the trumpets, like singing the song. I'd imagine it's real funky. You know, like they're moving forward. And the guys are like, what? And then they look at each other and then they start killing each other. The enemies start killing each other. And then when Judah came to the watchtower of the wilderness, they looked toward the horde and behold, there were dead bodies lying on the ground. No one had escaped. They didn't even have to lift a finger other than to strum the guitar. That's all. They took an attitude of prayer and worship. They declared God's word and they desperately moved in prayer. And look what God did. He fought the battle for them. When Jehoshaphat and his people came to take their spoil, check this out, they found among them in great numbers goods, clothing, and precious things, which they took themselves, or took for themselves until they could carry no more. They were 3 days in taking the spoil. It was so much. This is not like some organic rubbish collection. Like some of y'all just went through that season, right? This is like precious stuff. Some of us say stuffs. Precious stuffs. You know, that God wants you to know that there's a blessing in this storm. There's going to be so much blessing. I'm not just talking about financial blessing. That'll be a part of it. But like, God's going to enable you to go through it. Watch him do what he said he'll do. And you watch him provide for you in an abundance so that you can be a blessing in the storm. Like, God's going to take care of you. So here, my friends, is where we respond. As a church, we have this virus in our shores right now. We have Tom Hanks and his wife on the Gold Coast. We have announcements being made about what's going to happen in assemblies like this. In fact, Scott Morrison made the call about 3 days ago, and this was a part of what he was quoted saying, talking about how assemblies of more than 500 people would be from tomorrow banned. You know, many of us would have said, probably be wise to start now, especially if you've been watching the rugby league over the weekend and the AFL. Massive crowds and guys beating each other, sweating all over each other, and not a good model for society, I'd say. But it's going to stop tonight at midnight, apparently. But here's what Scott Morrison said, and we pray for him. We pray for our Prime Minister. Please do. He says it's precautionary, it's getting ahead. Is getting ahead of this to ensure that we can minimize the impact on your health. And so we can ensure with confidence the ability for people to be accessing the health services that they and their families will need. Also, churches with large followings might have to consider adding extra services to keep numbers under 500. Now, we want to be ahead of the curve. And I actually think this is the church's greatest hour, because it's time for us to recognize what the church is. Again, I want to reiterate, we don't go to church, we're called to be the church. And when we look at the four values of this church, the four values are worship, outreach, discipleship, and family. We want to continue doing these things. We're not going to stop doing those things. It's just our methods may change. Now, does that mean that services are canceled from this point on? Not yet. But I want to urge you, make sure that we have all of your contact details so that we can keep in touch with you. Just some things to keep in mind. We are actually commencing live streaming our worship services. Actually, from next Sunday, we're actually trialing it. You probably saw this camera here. But we're actually trialing it now. But like, we're going to have things in order for two plans. Number one, if we do, we're scheduled to have our combined service here next week. You remember that the Logan Church will be here. And it might be a cool way to sum this up, but we're just going to watch closely what happens in the news and what the government issues for us. I want to be wise as your pastor to make sure that we follow the right precautions. But at the same time, I just wanted to give you a heads up as to our plans. If this happens where we should live stream, remember this, okay? You watching a live stream or listening to a podcast is not church. And so many churches have fallen into this trap where they focus so much of their resources and time into just the live stream of a Sunday service rather than how we can creatively use platforms like Facebook, like Twitter, like Instagram. Those of you who are still on MySpace. Like using the platforms that we have to be able to communicate and still be the church. I'll go through some of the methods as to what we're believing God for. We want to continue to have environments for worship. So it's a matter of us, like we have, I met with our life group leaders last night, and we were talking about strategies as to how we can congregate within life groups and do home church like China's been doing for many years, right? Gathering together in homes, breaking bread together. We're going to train our life group leaders how to do communion so you can do communion, probably with gloves, but we'll do communion. But be not stopping being the church. Are you with me? Like, it's important we stay connected. And so throughout this week, if it moves towards that direction, we will give you the strategy that the Lord will give us. But we're not going to stop praying. We're not going to stop declaring God's word. And we're not going to stop worshiping the Lord. You know, we're equipping our worship team to provide resources so that we can provide you with worship. If you don't have somebody who can play an instrument and sing, then we'll provide an avenue for worship. We're going to provide playlists so you can worship God throughout the week. We're not going to stop being the church. We want to do whatever we can to help continue to provide an environment where you can earnestly seek God. So just please do make sure that we have yours and your EMB friends, any friends that you know want to get in touch with us or need to know about our movements. But basically the best place to find out our strategy is to go on Facebook, go on our Instagram, but definitely our website will constantly have updates. Please forgive me because you're going to get tired of seeing my face bringing updates to you. but I feel it's my responsibility as your pastor to do what I can to help make sure that the communication is clear, because my mandate is we don't stop being the church. This is our finest hour. So I want us to think through this. So be sure, firstly, like and follow our Every Nation Facebook and Instagram pages for regular updates for that. If you're not liking and following us, first of all, I'm sad. but secondly, you know, this is the way for you to stay in touch with what we're doing. And like I was saying, we're also equipping our worship team to be able to serve you in this way. There's so many opportunities, guys, that this presents, because there are so many people on your social networks that aren't in church, that aren't here. And it's not necessarily about sharing with them the service. But can you imagine if all of our life groups, if all of our leaders here started to feel the necessity to be activated to pray for one another online? Like if my sister's up the front here, right? Like Myrtle, you know, Elika and Bianca, like they're all praying people. I know these three. I've known these three for a while now, and they all love to pray. But if these three sisters here decided, you know what, once a week or maybe twice a week, I'm just going to set aside half an hour on my Facebook time. I know when most of my friends are online, and I'm just going to say, hey, at this set time, I'm going to pray, and I'd love to pray for you. And then you share a word of encouragement, you pray, you be the church. You don't have to rely on me. I know I'm called to preach, I know I'm called to pastor you, but you can also be the church using your social media. And then people can use the comments to be able to, here's what I need prayer for, B. Here's what I need prayer for, Myrtle. You know, you pray, you worship God. I mean, if you can't sing, maybe just play a track in the back. Please don't, because you'll lose a lot of Facebook friends that way and get a lot of mad faces, people clicking. But it's just a way, like, can you imagine, like, if every single one of us started using our social platforms to pray for one another and to pray for, you know, different people that you have social contact with that I don't, that our church doesn't, but as an organization, but you do, it's amazing how that happens. Like, if we're all activated to do that. You know, we've got certain ones in this room that do that already. Like my sister Laura here, I know she prays for people online. If all of us were activated to do that, and then just hashtag, okay, the hashtag, I don't know if you saw it here, the hashtag's at the bottom there, ENB the church.
E and B, the church. B, get it? B, Brisbane, B, the church. But like that way, when anybody clicks on that, we can also stay updated as to who's praying, and we can jump in and encourage you as well and stay connected. This is one strategy. This is one of many strategies. But then coming together and watching a service online, it's a great way to build smaller community because, you know, you're here. You've been sitting here listening to me for half an hour, and you're not getting much words in. I'll give you an opportunity to talk to one another. But can you imagine, in most churches, apart from singing the worship song, there's not much interaction like this. And so when we as pastors irresponsibly say, just watch the live stream, that's not the church. Is anybody with me in that? Like, all you are doing is watching some expert give you some sort of like verses to encourage you, but it's not activating you to be the church. And we want to be a church that activates people to be the church in this. This is our finest hour. You are called and empowered to be ministers where God's called you to. If you are a follower of Jesus, this is your greatest moment. So the key is to get together with your church mates and interact. How many life group leaders do we have here? Can we bring the lights up real quick? How many life group leaders do we have? You just wave. Can you bring the lights up? My life group leaders' arms are getting tired. Okay, can you look around? Talk to these life group leaders, okay, about when they do life group. Because if we move towards the strategy, life group leaders, don't worry, I won't leave you in the lurch. We'll give you what you need. If we need to move towards this model, we want to be ready for it. So the first value is outreach. Don't worry, I'll go through the last three really quickly. Secondly is outreach. The first one is worship, sorry. Secondly is outreach. I've just put some creative strategies as to how you can reach out during this time. Most people shrink back during times like this. We have an opportune time to reach out. Like, number one, see what your neighbors need. Assist them. Toilet paper drops, right? Like, just go to your neighbor and say, hey, you need some toilet paper? I've got a spare roll. Here you go. With the love of the Lord. I don't know. Right, toilet paper drops is not talking about, like, drops of a new invention, unless you're Filipino and you use double, right? So, shout out to double. If you don't know what that is, talk to a Filipino in this room. Assist those who are most vulnerable, like the elderly within your neighborhood. If you have the elderly around, like just being able to see what they need and seeing how you can be a blessing to them during this time. Like if you're really concerned, like take a wipe or take some spray and spray it on their doorknob and then open the door. You know, like just offer prayer. So we've talked about like being online and offering prayer, but offer to pray for your neighbors or those that you interact with, because this is a time, this is an opportune time. Hopefully you're seeing this. This is an opportune time that God's given us as the church. And then initiate our community outreach. Life group leaders, I encourage you, like, come up with creative ways that you can reach out during this time, whether it's, you know, blankets for the homeless. We're moving into colder months, and viruses like this tend to permeate a lot more in colder environments. So this is a time when we can be a blessing to those who are homeless within our city. Discipleship also, right? Consider using tools like Google Hangouts, Zoom, or Skype. Skype is free, so you can do it, to continue to meet with your life group. If it comes to the, and I know that there's a lot of people that aren't here at service because they're not necessarily with the virus, but they're not feeling well, so they don't want to get germs and stuff going around, which is good. It's responsible. So think of creative ways to continue to fellowship, to meet with one another. Gather in small groups for fellowship, for prayer, and for worship, and encourage those who mentor you, your peers, and those whom you disciple on a regular basis. So ask God how you can text message them or Facebook them personally, okay? I've been getting a lot of messages lately with dear friend and then a whole bunch of, I'm like, I know you sent that to like 150 people. That doesn't feel intimate. Like, at least put my name there. But like thinking about how I can pray for people, how I can encourage this person going through this. This is a great time for us to be able to do that. And then lastly, family. Now, I just want to talk about the health of our family. And I'm talking about, yes, your own family, but also as a spiritual family. Check up on your physical health. This virus has been known to, again, permeate strongly amongst those who aren't physically fit. Praise God, I'm in an 8-week challenge right now. Like, I'm in week 5. I'm just trying to exercise wisdom at the gym because I'm like touching handles and stuff, you know, ew. Pray. I'm going to make it through this 8 weeks. But like, I've been talking to the Silverbacks crew as well about offering like communal exercises that they could do online so people can do it. Because, like, chances are we may not be able to meet as they've been meeting in Marsden, you know, with like 100+ people in the hall and just sweating all over the place. So we're looking at creative ways where we can continue to do what God's called us to do. Secondly, mental health. Watch the amount of news you take in, okay? Like, yes, watch the news, but for information, but always learn the facts. And as you know those facts, declare God's truth over those facts. It's been known that, like, especially those of you with children, please don't leave CNN around happening or whatever news channel you watch, Fox or whatever. Don't leave it just playing in your house and then children are walking around. That stuff actually gets on your spirit if you just leave it playing. Okay, I'm saying yes, stay informed, but don't let it get to the point where you can feel the junk on your spirit where you start to, like, I've had to talk to people that have stopped having faith in God because they've just been listening to alternative news and news that kind of puts fear on you. Yes, it might be factual, but you need to understand how this stuff can affect your spirit because it's words, and words affect your heart. So be sure that there is a direct correlation with the amount of the word of God that you believe over the word of the news source that you follow. And then lastly, spiritual health. Check on your family's growth in the word, in worship, and prayer. My responsibility as a dad, I need to control the temperature. Remember, we talked about being a thermostat. Control the temperature of the spiritual climate in my home during this time. Look, I'm closing. I know I've gone long, but I think it's really vital that we understand these things. If you have any questions at all, please do email us at info@ianbrisbane.org or any prayer requests that you might have during this time. We want to pray for you. We want to stay collectively connected because this is our time to shine. Turn to somebody and tell them, we don't go to church. We're called to be the church. You go to service, you don't go to church. Just some of you are like, "Woo! This is the last time I'm coming to church. I'm going to the beach." No, you come to service, but you are the church. Take a moment really quickly. I'm just going to give us a few minutes. And considering all you've heard, how can you be the church in this time? And then pray for one another during this time. Can we do that?
We hope you've enjoyed today's message brought to you by Every Nation Brisbane. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at ianbrisbane.org. Thank you for listening. God bless.